to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As Your grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, for God's been good in my life. Night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been
and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I appreciate the good singing and the choice of songs that y'all are using here. What a blessing to hear good songs. I echo that song. I wouldn't change it if I could. And I've had my few share of hard times. I've had mostly good times. A lot of these modern songs, I don't attribute that to be more of a modern song written, but it's got truth to it. But all is me-ism. You know, they sing about how hard I've had it. Well, I hadn't had it too hard. The way of the transgressor's hard. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you won't have it too hard. You'll have fellowship one with another in the blood of His Son Jesus. It's been a good road for me. Yea, I mean, man, He'll lead me in the paths of righteousness. I was prayed this morning before I left, you know, lead us not into temptation. It's a pretty good life being saved. You're looking at one has no complaints whatsoever about old-time religion, about fundamental doctrine, about a King James Bible, about standards that were imposed in my life as a child that soon became my own, and permanently. I mean, I thank the Lord for it, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm excited about it. I want to help you, and going along with the theme of this meeting, boy, we need to stand, don't we? turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm going to read several verses. And I'm preaching under fortification of Tim Hortons donuts. Somebody say amen. Man, I was looking at the top of the hill. We passed Climb Road, and Andrew said, there's a McDonald's. And I said, good. And then I pulled up to McDonald's, and I said, but there's a Tim Hortons. Real good. Man, I've got some calories in me right now, refined flour, sugar. Boy, I'm excited. And I got coffee oozing out my pores. In fact, I washed my mouth out with coffee before I came in to preach. And what a blessing. Page 1233. Y'all want to stand or y'all all right? If you want to, you don't have to stand to reverence the Word of God. You understand that? Or we couldn't listen to preaching in the car. You'd be a hypocrite. See, Pharisees love titles. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. You don't want to wait till the whole loaf of Phariseeism takes over your church. Leaven, here's Phariseeism. Rabbi, rabbi, rabbi. They love titles. Pharisees are more concerned with the outward than they are the inward. And look at me, I'm so narrow-minded. I mean, I'm against everything. I believe a gnat could stand on the bridge of my nose and kick both eyeballs at the same time. I'm narrow. But Pharisees only focus on what they see. They never preach on envy and jealousy and anger and malice. You won't hear that preached around Pharisees much, but it ought to be dealt with. Pharisees are concerned about who your favorite preacher is. And if your favorite preacher isn't what their favorite preacher is, or is not who their favorite, they automatically shun you. I mean, who's sitting in Moses' seat? Who's in Moses' chair? Y'all know that's right. I was preaching in Gainesville, Georgia. I'll never forget it. And I announced my text, and I started reading the text, and three or four Pharisees jumped up because they wanted to catch the guest evangelist doing something wrong. I could almost hear them saying, Jesus, they didn't wash their hands. They're eating that corn. They didn't wash their hands. And so, you know how tactful I am, and I don't want to offend anybody. And I work at that. And so they jumped up, and what they did, they caused interruption in my reading of the text. They hurt more than they helped. So I just looked at them. I said, oh, I said, y'all like to stand up. I said, turn to Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Let's see how long you want to stand, about 10 pages worth. Somebody help me. Y'all all right? But beware of that stuff. Don't try to prove you're better than somebody. You just live it, and God will bless you. Well, I thought that's sermon number one, and I see a few of you flinching on that. That's who I'm aiming at, praise God. Notice verse 1, for we know that if this earthly house, this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. How many can say amen right there? Not for that we would be unclothed, but be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That's a down payment. Praise God. We're going to be closing before too long. Somebody say amen. Amen. And heaven's going to be a reality. Goes on to say, therefore we are confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, and whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. He wanted the approval of God. Let me say, long before we desire the approval of academia, of the brethren, we ought to desire the approval of God in our life. If it hair lips everybody else, we want God's approval. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Boy, we ought to be aware of that. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your case and your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them. I want to thank God for that. But hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray thee, be you reconciled, be in Christ to be reconciled to God. Our Heavenly Father, I need your touch this morning. And it's not out of redundance or ritual that I've come to you, or just in a habit. But Lord, I come to you because I need you. My mind is foggy. I've got much on it. Lord, I pray as the pastor's already prayed. I pray, God, you'd help us to focus and preach what thus saith the Lord. And I pray this morning that you'd give me discernment and at the same time give me a diligent mind, Lord, to try to help this congregation from the youngest listener to the oldest, the white-haired saints that make up this congregation. Let them be fortified and strengthened. And Lord, I pray that when we leave these walls, we'll leave here with a determination to make a difference. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I read a long time, and words started blurring together. These are brand new glasses, and the bifocals aren't set, and this pulpit's too short for me. Somebody say amen. And my podium's up higher. In fact, I had it built where it'd be just right from bifocals. But I think I read it close to right. And we know it's given by inspiration of God, and it is right. But I want to preach a little bit about our exit. Paul the Apostle had a triumphant exit. He said, I'm now ready to be offered over there in 2 Timothy. The time of departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. You know, that's a challenge, isn't it? I have finished my course. Well, none of us have done that yet. We're still here. I have kept the faith. Well, that's honestly kept the faith. He never compromised. And he said, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he was talking about his exit. Saul of Tarsus had a triumphant exit. King Saul had a tragic exit. If you read the book by Guy King, A Leader Led, you get over there to page 12, it's interesting. He said, when you're studying the Bible, you can take characters with the same name and do some contrast and comparisons to their lives. Mary Magdalene and then the Virgin Mary, what a difference. He said, King Saul, he died tragically. He was cut, stripped, and nailed to a wall. And then Saul of Tarsus, man, he died triumphantly. He finished right. And when I look at these words of Paul the Apostle, I mean, I'm challenged. I look at what he says in here. He said, for I'm now ready to be offered, time of departure at hand. But he goes back. He wasn't always able to say that. He said, not that I've apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind, I reach forth, I press. And it's not over yet. And I'm convinced this morning that most of Christendom, and especially our movement, we've been permeated, it seems like overrun. There's been an encroachment on the divine purpose. And everything becomes about what's tangible. Yeah. And everything becomes about what's temporal and what we're going to get here. But see, we're going to have to appear. Look at it with me in verse number 10. For we must all appear. Now, if I was a Bible corrector, I'd say that means to stand. before. We're going to give an answer for. We're going to be accountable for. We're going to stand up here before the judgment seat of Christ. That every man, notice what it said, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I hope the Lord would help me this morning to try to shake us out of our lethargic mentality towards the judgment seat of Christ. One day we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And a friend of mine, it's not going to be like it's been painted. Most of the songs we sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. Yeah, but there's a judgment seat.
Yes, sir.
And we've got this picture painted in our minds and that we're going to get to heaven and it's like Santa Claus in the chair, and we're just going to run up and jump in Jesus' lap. And he's going to say, "Oh, well done, thy good and faithful servant." Now, look up here just a minute. You're naive this morning to think you're going to hear "well done" if you haven't done well. We'll give an answer to things, whether they be good or bad. We're going to answer for the privileges, the opportunities we had. Now, I want you to listen to me this morning. As we stand before the Lord one day at that Bema seat, that place of elevation, that place of reward, we're going to stand before him, and I want you to notice three things this morning. Number one, when we stand, it's going to be a sure judgment seat. It's going to be sure. There'll be no one who evades this judgment. I've been pretty good in my life at getting out of things. Now, don't you judge me. Some of y'all pretty good. Tell them I'm not here, you know. They knock on the door and you go hide in the closet somewhere. I remember, man, dentist, I hate going to the dentist. As a child, I had bad teeth, man. I mean, we ate everything wrong. And I'd had to go to the dentist. And dentist will lie to you. Somebody help me.
Yeah.
I mean, man, dentist will tell you, you know, you're going to feel a prick.
Yeah.
And it feels like a 10-penny nail and a 9-pound hammer driving it through your jaw, you know. And you're just going to feel a prick. And I mean, man, the thoughts of going to the dentist. I mean, I can't stand it. I mean, you go in there and I can almost smell burnt bone right now. I never have wanted to go. My mother, she was old-fashioned, and she's still old-fashioned, but she used to have old-time remedies for problems. I'd get a cavity, and she'd go into the medicine cabinet and get some vanilla extract, not imitation vanilla flavor, and I'm talking about 99 proof. Pure D, McCormick vanilla extract in a brown bottle with a little white cap. Can I get a witness from somebody in here? And she'd take a cotton ball, and she'd soak that cotton ball in that alcohol, and then she'd take a toothpick and jab it down in my cavity. And, I mean, it would numb it. I mean, it quit hurting. I'd walk around saying, "Mama, I need a little bit more of that medicine. Somebody help me." But, man, I've evaded so many appointments. But I'm going to tell you something we ought to sober up to.
Yeah,
there won't be Mama writing any excuses. There won't be any notes. There won't be any exceptions. You're not going to get to have some kind of a grading curve. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, nobody's getting out of it.
Amen.
For we must all appear. To me, I think about this appointment that's made. There's no evading this appointment. There's no excuses at this appointment. See, God knows it all.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, we fell back on everything. Everybody's got some card they pull. No matter what they face in our lives and in social life of humanity today, everybody's got some kind of a card. I was mistreated as a child. I mean, if you was born before 1965, you were mistreated as a child. Somebody help me. I mean, I bear in my body the marks. Amen. I'm talking about, man, I mean, I didn't get spankings. That was Yankee talk. I got whoopings. That's W-H-U-P-P-I-N-G. And that's the next thing to the electric chair down in Georgia where I was raised. Y'all understand? The last whooping I got, man, Daddy went in and said, "Go get the belt." And I went in and I got that little old skinny belt. And he said, "Boy, is that the belt I whooped you with the last time?" I said, he said, "Talk like I can understand you." I said, "No, sir." And I went and got that belt that boy in prison made him. It's about that wide. It had little acorns and little oak leaves on the side of it. It had buck stitching all the way down both edges. On the back, it said Curtis on the back of it. When he got through whooping me, man, I had tattoos up down my leg, looked like little squirrels and acorns, oak leaves. And on one side of my hip it said Kurt, and the other side said Tiss on the side of it. Amen. Man, I got whoopings, friend. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be no excuses. You know, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Neither was half the Bible characters. Neither were half the patriarchs of the Old Testament, the apostles that we pattern our lives after, friend. Hey, I'm talking about, for we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ. This is an appointment where there'll be no evading. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no exemptions. There'll be no exemptions. No matter how much money you had, you're not going to buy your way out of this meeting. Amen. You're not going to smart your way out of this meeting. Well, I know. And No. It's going to be an appointment. And I believe that we've forgotten we're going to stand before Him. I mean, it's all about the now. It's all about who's going to like us now. It's all about the results that are now, what we can see. What about those results in heaven? Well, we ought to wake up to that. For we must all appear. We must all stand before the judgment seat of God. We're going to stand there one day.
Yes, sir.
I think about that stand, and it's a sure appointment. Can I say this? It's a specific address. Nobody's going to answer for you but you. I've been having dreams. I've been preaching a lot. I can't remember what I've told here, even last night. But I had some dreams about the judgment seat. And recently, man, I've been just thinking about the judgment seat and standing in the line. I don't know if it's going to be that way, but I know we're going to be there. And everybody's going to give an account. And I got to thinking, man, what will I say? You know, most court cases, most of the time when you're being judged and evaluated by a supreme being, most of the time you go before, they'll give you an opportunity to say something. What would we say if the Lord said at that judgment, what have you got anything to say for yourself? Well, Lord, I'd like to say you probably knew my daddy, Dr. Curtis Hudson. He was a real good friend with John R. Rice and Jack Hiles. I know you know them. I mean, hey, I see them over there. Hey. I know you know them, and he was, but that's not the way it's going to be. I wish it was that we could, you know, do a little name dropping at the judgment seat. Amen. You know, I know. No, it's going to be, what did you do? Eyeball to eyeball. God's going to look at you eyeball to eyeball and say, what did you do with the opportunities that I gave you? What did you do with them? I'm telling you, this address, it's specific. It's specific. I'm saying to you, it's specific in our accountability. We're so weak. I hear even preachers say, now that preacher's going to have to give an account. No, I don't have to give an account for any of my members' actions.
Amen.
Mm-mm. You're accountable for your actions. It's personal. This address is personal. It's not going to be my family. Let's have all the Hudsons come up here. Man, I could hide behind mom and daddy and my goody two-shoes sisters. Somebody help me. And get behind all of them and put all of the granddaddies and great-granddaddies, all the missionary Baptists in our family all the way back. Hey, praise God, from England over. Amen. Y'all still here? I mean, man, I could stand behind my ancestry and hide and cloak myself and all their good deeds. Hey, I come from good stock, friend. But wait just a minute. It's not about your family.
Amen.
It's not about it. It's about you. It's not about your wife. It's not about your husband. And children, it's not about your parents. This is an appointment that's specific. It's personal. It's personal. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, And let me say, and it's private. See, everything you've hidden, it's coming out. Now, I understand our sins have been paid for at Calvary, but it said good and bad. Your motive's going to have to do a lot with your reward. Now, I want to be obedient whether my motive's right or not, because I don't want to get judged for two things that are wrong. Somebody help me. 1 Corinthians 13 does say, though I speak with tongues of men of angels, have not charity, Holy Ghost manifested. Charity is channeled love. That's stuff people don't see. It's the conduit for God to work through us. Charity's Holy Ghost manifested. Charity's not given to the poor. That is an exercise. of God using you. Amen. Though I must draw my goods to feed the poor, profit me nothing. Hey, though I have all knowledge, man, I'm the smartest in the world, but said that profit me nothing. And there's the extreme example. And though I give my body to be burned, can you imagine a martyr at this judgment seat? And he gets up there and he thinks, I'm getting that martyr's crown. But 1 Corinthians 13, that's in your Bible, you know. Just a few, it's over there until you left. Somebody say amen. And though I give my body, but let me just say something. If you heard that I've been martyred, it was because I ran out of bullets or I ran out of breath. Somebody say amen. Hey, I'm not volunteering for that stuff. Hey, I'm not volunteering for that stuff. They're going to have to apprehend me to cut my head off. Somebody say amen. I'm really not jockeying for the martyr's crown. Amen. I mean, some of you may be that humble. Not me, friend. I'm going to go down fighting. Amen. Are y'all listening? Any rag-headed, rug-riding, camel jockey, genie in a bottle, Muslim, cut my head off, it'll be because I fell down. Somebody help me. Amen and amen. That kind of keeps some of y'all. I'll say it again if you don't like it. Amen. Hey, either you love Israel or you don't. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Amen. Islam straight out of hell. The Koran straight out of hell. I don't know how I got on that. I had such a helpful message this morning and got on that stuff that ticks everybody off. Amen. I'm saying to you, you're going to get up there and you got to answer. Where was I? Martyr. And this man, thank you, sir, whoever said martyr, you get a cookie after the service. If I'd had another cookie, I wouldn't have forgot martyr. Somebody said, can you imagine a man gets his head cut off or burned at the stake, and then he gets to this judgment seat? And we're all knowing, man, he was one of those martyrs I read about in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And he gets up there, and man, we're all standing around. I know he's going to get a big old crown. And the Lord says, all right, that's it for you. And he goes, wait a minute. You know, I was burned at the stake. I mean, during the inquest, it was rough back there, man. I mean, man, the catacombs, it was rough back there. And I stood, and he goes, yeah, but you did it so people would see you. Your motive was so that you could have a name on a building somewhere. You gave money, sir. You gave all you had, but your motive was, I want my name on a pew. I want to be remembered by humanity. You say, that's not going to happen. Oh, sir, it is going to happen. I wonder how many of these modern-day little old hirelings are going to get to heaven and they think they're going to get a pastor's crown. And they ain't had enough power to blow the fuzz off a peanut. Somebody help me. Couldn't preach yourself out of a wet paper sack. Ain't got enough fire to warm a chigger's feet and get up there and think they're going to get some kind of crown for being a pastor. Oh, it's going to be a rude awakening. All of it, all that stuff. Hey, God's keeping this. And let me say this. The stuff that nobody else knows about that you've done, you'll be rewarded for. We only want to serve. It seems like our motive behind service in this hour is to be seen, is to be recognized, is to win the T-shirt, is to get the pen. Hey, what about those things? God sees it, friend. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees what you're doing. When the deacons don't see it, when the pastor doesn't see it, hey, when the people don't see it, preacher, God Almighty's keeping score. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will give an account of himself. It's specific. Mama's not going to ask for you. Daddy's not going to answer for you. It's going to be specific judgment. I close with this thought, and really the most weighty thought. It's going to be a sobering judgment. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What's the terror? Well, it's twofold. I mean, obviously hell for those that reject Christ. But this is in the context of a believer's judgment seat. This is not a white throne judgment here. I mean, somebody help me. Y'all supposed to be Bible students in the morning service. This is not Revelation. This is an epistle to the church. In other words, you mean there's some terror? Oh, yeah, there's going to be some terror. I saw a bumper sticker that said, Jesus is coming and he's mad. I thought, man, I believe that. When he looks at what he's given us in this 21st century. And then we get to get to that place, Lord. And then we are going to come to a white throne. It's going to be something. I mean, heartbreaking. That's why the Bible said in Revelation, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, because when they look across in that judgment, when the Word of God and the saints of God and the Holy Ghost witness against the sinners, when the Word of God says, I was written, I was infallible, I was impeccable, but they rejected me. And when the Holy Ghost says, yeah, and during the invitation, I pricked their heart. And I told them they needed to go. I was convicting them. I was drawing them, but they hardened the neck. They resisted me. They turned me away. And when the bride says, yep, said we preached and we had buses and we went door to door, but they didn't want you. It's gonna be pretty sober. But wait a minute. What about that terror, Lord, when we're standing there and your neighbor says, what are you doing on that side? Hey, Papa, why didn't you tell me about this judgment? Why didn't you tell me about hell? Hey, Mama, hey, Mama, Granny, why didn't you tell me about a place called hell, a lake of fire and brimstone, where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Why didn't you tell me about a bottomless pit? Hey, why didn't you tell me? Hey, that won't listen to me, friend. It's going to be some sobering time when you get to the judgment. Oh, well, I didn't want to offend you. Every time we talked about religion, you'd get so upset. Oh, they will have wished you had made them more upset. Well, we'd come to Christmas, and you know, you married that non-denominational man. And you married into that Catholic family, and I didn't want to talk about religion because it caused such tension. You talk about tension at Thanksgiving dinner. You talk about tension. Hey, you talk about some tension at Christmas time. There's going to be some tension, friend, when we're judging the unsaved over there at the hayfield. It's going to be sobering. You'll wish to God you'd cause some tension. We're going to stand for God. And he's going to say, I gave you the Bible, an inerrant book, infallible. I gave you the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. I gave you the indwelling Holy Ghost to quicken you and give you the ability to represent me to a lost and dying world. I gave you a New Testament church to bring sinners into. And hey, man, I gave it. And what did you do with it? Sobering judgment. Y'all still here? A sobering judgment. It's not going to be just some kind of a make-believe fairy tale heaven. It's going to be a time of judgment. I mean, man, knowing the terror of the Lord. I think about the time that's left. The breath, our life's a vapor. It ought to sober us at all of the wasted time. Every day I live, Brother Andrew, I think about, man, I can't buy it back. Bible said redeeming the time for the days are evil. But there's some water over the dam, man. We're going to have to live for now. We must approach the call of God in our life. The Great Commission, going all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. We must approach that, friend, knowing that it's winding down. I was baptizing not too long ago. Not too long ago, could have been a decade. As old as I get. Somebody say amen. Sister Sherry Richards, she's a deaconess in our church. Amen. Hey, y'all all right? And she was standing up there handing towels to the lady. And when I got through baptizing, they had pulled the plug on the baptistry and the water was swirling and it was going down. And I was patting off my head and drying off my hands. And Miss Sherry looked down there at that drain. And she said, Brother Tony, she said, that baptistry drain reminds me of the church age. And she said, listen to it. And you could hear it. You know, when it's up at the top, you don't hear it much. But when it gets down close to draining, you can hear the water swirling. She said, I can almost hear the water swirling on the church age. We act like we got forever. I'm not against setting plans. The man who plans fails to plan plans to fail. But man, we got to live for today. Man, we're gonna have to labor for now. For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Man, he's coming again. It's sobering. For we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand for him one day. It's a sobering seat. I say this. The tragedies that could be avoided. Heaven's going to be wonderful. We sang it page 105 in our book, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. But what about those lives that we could have made a difference in? What about those homes we could have salvaged? What about the souls of men that we could have stood in the gap for? But it just became about the now. Well, if I say something, they won't like. Well, if I take that stand, I may run somebody off. Well, if I oppose my friend, I mean, they're going to distance himself. I'll be ostracized. Well, let me tell you something. When you get to the judgment seat, I believe we'll say, I wished I had. Here's the option. I want to be able to say, I'm glad I did. I'm not saying I've apprehended. By any means. But I want to be able to finish right. And when I get to that place of reward, I hope I've got something. I hope I'm not going to be embarrassed when I get there. I hope I'm not going to be caught off guard. There'll be some. The Bible said to be ashamed before him at his coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.